In this episode, we talk about getting weird and thinking outside of the box when picking your next product to sell on Amazon.
Hello and welcome to the Private Labeler Show, where we are dedicated to helping you take your Amazon business to the next level. Now, here is your host, Nick Landowski.
Hello, beautiful citizens of planet Earth. How the heck are you doing today? I hope you are having a lovely and fantastic day. My name is Nick. You are tuned into the Private Labeler Show, and it's about to get real. So welcome to episode number 32 of the Private Labeler Show. We're helping 1,000 amazing people such as yourself start an online business in 2016. So welcome aboard. I am very grateful that you decided to give me some of your time and ears today to listen to the podcast. So thanks so much. I appreciate you. Now, if you happen to be brand spanking new to the show, first of all, welcome again. But make sure you head over to privatelabelershow.com/start. And that'll take you right to the start page of the blog and the podcast and give you a list of earlier episodes that'll kind of fast track you to get you caught up to speed on everything. So make sure you do that. privatelabelershow.com/start. All right, so let's just jump right into it, everybody. So this episode is all about thinking outside of the box, thinking different, getting a little weird, and hopefully uncovering and discovering some hidden gems out there for products to start selling online or selling on Amazon. So we're talking specifically about the product research phase. So whether you're looking for your first product, or maybe this is your third, fourth, whatever, when you're looking for your product in the product research phase, it can become a struggle. It can become kind of a process that takes sometimes weeks, if not months for some people, and it can become extremely frustrating. I know a lot of you out there, you'll go through product after product and try to make sure that they all meet every specific bullet point and criteria that it's supposed to meet, and you're kind of coming up dry because for one reason or another, maybe there's just too much competition or not enough demand or whatever the reason is. And you sit there and you kind of stall out and you get frustrated and you see all these other sellers having all this success and you're thinking, damn, what the heck am I doing wrong here? What's not working? Why can't I find a product? So I want to give you some different ways of looking at things today, some different ideas, and tell you that it's okay to break the rules right now. It's okay to not follow this criteria of what your product has to have. You don't have to follow it every single time. I mean, there's so many gems out there that are uncovered that a lot of people going through these courses or trainings or whatever are never noticing because they're sitting there following this general criteria and they're looking in the same exact categories as everybody else and they're wondering why every product that they're kind of noticing is just completely saturated or too much competition. And again, they just come up empty all the time. So the gems essentially can be just outside of the guidelines. Now, usually a higher barrier of entry for a product means that there's going to be typically less competition and more opportunity. So we'll get into that in just a second here. But when I talk about this general criteria of what your product is kind of supposed to have, what I teach and what a lot of other people teach is that, your product should be small, lightweight, small enough that it kind of fits in, a shoebox, or lightweight that it's, kind of 1 to 2 pounds maximum. And it should be fairly simple. It should sell for roughly $20 on Amazon. And you should be making roughly $10 profit per unit at the end of the day. Like when you try to hit all those checkpoints and yet you're still going to go through the same categories and look at the same products as virtually everybody else, it can become difficult for all of that to kind of match up. Now, if you're newer to the show and you want a little bit more information on this criteria that I'm talking about, if you go to privatelabelershow.com/guide, you can download my checklist or my guide for finding a product to sell on Amazon. Take a look at that if you've already downloaded it. Awesome. But that just gives you kind of the real general guideline of what you should be looking for. But I'm here to tell you that that is not final. It is not end of story. You can and should be willing to kind of break some of those general guidelines on occasion, as long as the numbers make sense at the end of the day, It doesn't matter, okay? So consider this. Consider looking at private labeling or selling larger or slightly oversized items. So I say, hey, the item should be somewhat small, right? Obviously helps for shipping purposes to have a smaller kind of lightweight item. That just makes perfect sense because shipping can get expensive. But it doesn't mean that you can completely dismiss all of the slightly larger or slightly oversized items out there. So don't be afraid to kind of think outside of that box and think, geez, you know, nobody's going after these. Maybe I can and see what other opportunities I can find there. Yes, shipping might be more expensive. Maybe you have to go with sea shipping or whatever because the item you're looking at is just that much bigger where, you know, air shipping doesn't make sense, so on and so forth. But, you know, maybe logistics, again, are a little bit of a hassle. And where lies that, though, lies opportunity because most people are going to say, oh, well, it doesn't fit in a shoebox or it's not small. I don't want to deal with it. Well, again, there may be more opportunity out there for you then because there's just less sellers focusing in on slightly oversized items, okay? So also, too, just make sure that you're aware of Amazon's guidelines for oversized items, you know, how much it's going to cost for FBA fees, so on and so forth. So just make sure you're up to snuff on that as far as just some of the different breakdowns that they have for their fees for the size of the items. Now, also, consider the price as an example. So I just as well as others kind of say, hey, the item should be, you know, roughly $20 or less or whatever it may be, like kind of in that general frame right there. I'm here to tell you that, yes, it's okay to find or go after items that sell for maybe $30, $40, $50. Who knows? Just because the item is more expensive doesn't mean essentially all the time that it's going to be ridiculously expensive to start sourcing and private labeling. You just don't know. So consider items, again, that are a little bit pricier. And again, you have to obviously look at your budget and your capital available to determine what's best for you. But most people, again, aren't looking at selling the items that are, you know, $30 or above. They're completely ignoring them, okay? And again, if you went to Alibaba or Global Sources as an example, you might be surprised at some of these items selling on Amazon, you know, for how inexpensive they may be on Alibaba, okay? But again, as long as the numbers work out at the end of the day for you and for, you know, your bottom line, what's the difference, okay? So don't be afraid to look at more expensive items. Also, to more complex items. So again, the criteria is to keep things simple. We you know, kind of tell you to focus in on very simple items due to, you know, things breaking and less returns and less hassle. And that's all for good reason. But again, there may be an opportunity out there for you to start private labeling slightly more complex items or, again, items that maybe people shy away from. So items such as, you know, that are made out of glass or can be easily broken. Well, if you can solve a problem to get that item, you know, from China, let's say to Amazon with maybe better packaging so that they don't break or whatever reason, then it might be worth you exploring. So again, most people are going to shy away from things like that. See if you can actually use that to your advantage and go after slightly more complex items or items that maybe are kind of prone to breaking a little easier. So again, don't necessarily shy away from it. Now, again, as long as the numbers work out at the end of the day for any of this stuff, as long as the numbers work out for you, as long as you can get the item for a reasonable price on Alibaba, get it shipped in at a reasonable price, and your FBA fees aren't going to be too outrageous, and as long as you can walk away with a profit per unit that you're comfortable with, there's no reason why you can't stray away and think a little different. Now, the other problem I mentioned before, and I mentioned this a lot, is most sellers look at the common categories and they kind of stay within those walls there. They'll look at the most popular, kind of the sexy categories, the exciting ones, and you know they're kind of just looking at the best sellers list. And that's where they stay. They sit there and they have this general criteria and they want to find gold where everybody else is mining, okay, looking at the exact same stuff. And I'm not saying that that can't be done. It's just a little bit more difficult, okay? So avoid strictly looking at the best sellers list and the top items. I've mentioned that a lot before. Not to say that you can't look at the best sellers list for general ideas, but look at opportunities within there. So are there related items to some of those best sellers? Are there maybe unique accessories or things like that that might make sense for you to kind of look at private labeling and selling. Now, let's get weird here for just a minute. Most people, they want to sell the quote-unquote sexy or more popular type of items. And, you know, maybe it's items that they want to brag to their friends and family that they're selling. Oh, that they're starting this CrossFit brand and stuff like that. And by all means, if you're into that stuff and it's going to work out for you, you know, I'm not knocking it or anything like that. What I'm just saying, though, is that most people, again, they want to brag to their friends and family that they're selling these cool things on Amazon or whatever. However, think about that for a second and just say, okay, what if I didn't necessarily have to brag to anybody about what I was selling and I went after kind of weird or unique items that if I told my friends and family about, they would kind of go, okay, cool, and not really know what to say. So where do you find these items? Well, look at maybe some of the popular items out there and look at, you know, are there accessories that go along with these items, okay? Are there just weird little things that enhance these products? Also, too, digging really deep in these subcategories and just going many pages in. So, you know, not looking at the first few pages, but going really far in, you know, 10, 20 pages in sometimes. And you might just kind of have all these ideas kind of pop in your head and, you know, start writing some of these ideas down because they're just kind of unique and different. And you think, geez, nobody's going to notice this. So that's where a lot of the weird, unique items can be found is if you just dive super deep into the pages and just start exploring. So again, also look at some of those popular categories and look at some of those popular items and just look at, you know, the items that would kind of complement those items. So accessories and so on and so forth. So take a look at that. And then also too, next time you go to Walmart as an example or Target or whatever, start to go down some of the aisles that in departments that you've never shopped in before. So if you're a dude, as an example, and you go to Walmart, maybe you've never been to the arts and crafts section. I don't even know if they have an arts and crafts section. They probably do, but you know, just walk down some of these sections that you've never been down before and just start looking at things just to get ideas. You know, bring your smartphone, you know, start scanning away, start listing some ideas, you know, in your Evernote or whatever. And again, go to some of these departments in these superstores, these supercenters like Walmart that you've never been to before, and you'd be surprised, you know, some of the ideas that you can kind of generate from that. Now, also too, think about this for a second. A lot of the criteria that I talk about or others talk about, we say, hey, you know, you kind of should be shooting for roughly $100 profit per day for your product. And that's, again, that's just a kind of a rough number out there. And that equates to if you made $100 a day off this product, bottom line, times 30 days, that's $3,000 profit, which is freaking awesome, okay? But what if this product that you were selling made you, I don't know, $1,000 or $1,500 a month? Would you be mad about that? I don't think so. So again, maybe the item that you're selling isn't going to make you as much profit as you kind of, you know, would like. But again, would you be happy with an extra $1,000 or $1,500 a month on autopilot, passive income? And, you know, maybe does that take care of your mortgage or your rent each month? Would you be happy with that? So ask yourself that question, you know, would you be happy making $50 a day profit? As long as you're happy with that, then go for it. So sometimes people do say, well, I want this to be worth my time and therefore I'm going to try to make as much money as possible off of each product. That's totally fine. Your goals might be a little bit different. So I know the vast majority of you listening would be thrilled with an extra $1,000, $2,000 a month, $1,500 or whatever on autopilot passive once the product is up and running. I don't think there's really anybody out there that would be mad at that. So again, just because the item that you're looking at doesn't make crazy amounts of money doesn't mean you should completely avoid it. Okay. So this $10, you know, or $100 a day profit number, again, that's just a general guideline. If it's more, awesome. If it's a little bit less, so be it. It's not the end of the world. Now, just the other night I was messing around with Jungle Scout. And I thought I would kind of share some different things that I noticed. So I'm not actively in the product research phase. I have throughout the rest of the year, I know exactly which products I'm going to be private labeling and which order and things like that. So I'm not actively looking for new things to start or new products to start selling. But I thought I would jump on Jungle Scout and kind of just kick it around and see if I could maybe uncover quickly just some categories or maybe potential product ideas to get into that are a little bit outside the box, a little bit weird, or I don't know, maybe essentially just a little bit untapped. Because at least in my mind, people are kind of going after the same type of products over and over again. And I thought I'd maybe throw out some ideas for you just so that you can kind of start exploring and going down some different paths. So maybe this might help you out. So after crushing it on Jungle Scout for a little bit, I noticed that there's just a lot of really unique and weird opportunities in the arts and crafts and sewing categories on Amazon. So I have no interest in this type of stuff. And I don't know much about this type of stuff. But at the end of the day, when I was kind of ripping through, I was just seeing opportunity after opportunity in there, kind of buried deep. And again, maybe they all didn't make insane money or wouldn't make insane money at the end of the day, but there's still demand. And you can still get some of these items for relatively low price or low cost from Alibaba. So you might want to just kind of explore those areas. And again, if you don't have any passion or excitement around, you know, arts and crafts and sewing, that's fine. You don't have to do that. But if your ultimate passion is money, then it might be worth looking into. And also, too, the baby stuff. So I think there's just a lot of opportunities in there, like for weird and unique kinds of items. And the other area that I noticed that I was really excited about was bathroom accessories. So I was kind of messing around looking through different bathroom accessories, some different types of things that one person would put in their bathroom, whether it be like different storage or whatever. There was just a lot of really cool opportunities I would maybe throw out there that you guys start exploring. Again, you may not have any interest in that, and that's fine. But at the end of the day, if you just want to look at some opportunities for money, then you know it might be worth looking into. So check that out. You know, rip out your Jungle Scout and just start to get really narrow and just kind of going down the rabbit hole, going, you know, a lot of pages in and see if you can discover some untapped opportunities in there. And then just another little thing I'll throw out there. And again, I'm not saying this with any certainty that like this is going to work or that I actually vetted any of these. It was just really general, casual, you know, 30 to 45 minutes just browsing on Amazon stuff with Jungle Scout. I noticed that just like things that are made of weird materials, let's just say like bamboo material stuff. So if you go in the search bar of Amazon and just type in like bamboo, you'll see all these different types of maybe household products or whatever that people buy that are just because they're made from bamboo. So thinking unique as an example, just noticing what's a common item. Oh, if it's made of bamboo, sometimes people are just really into things made of weird materials like that. So it could be like kitchen utensils or just some stuff in the bathroom, you know, bathroom related items that are made from bamboo that I just briefly noticed. Again, I'm not saying that that's a hit and you should go for it, but again, just thinking a little bit different, thinking outside the box that way. Also too, thought I'd throw out there another idea. Something else that I noticed was that, at least to my knowledge, nobody's really getting down and dirty with as far as when I see people private labeling, kind of what they're doing. Almost nobody is looking into the office supplies categories, and maybe that's for a good reason, but at the same time, there are so many different weird opportunities within office supplies. Again, it's not sexy. It's not something you'd brag to your friends that you're selling, you know, different office supply accessories in. I mean, that's just not cool. But at the same time, it could be completely untapped. So I thought I'd maybe throw that out there for you to start maybe digging within there. And last but not least, I just kind of quickly noticed this again. You know, a lot of people say, oh, don't go into electronics. And that's all for good reason because it's a little bit more complex. But what I did notice, and I could be completely wrong in this because I didn't vet it, I just want to stress that again. I'm not saying that you should go do this, but just again, thinking a little bit different. I noticed in electronics, as an example, I noticed the travel adapter accessories. What kind of really jumped out at me as far as like something that, again, might be a little bit riskier because it is electronics and there's just more opportunity for those things to kind of break. But I was just looking at different travel adapters. Like if you're from the United States, you travel to, let's say, Europe or whatever, you need those adapter plugs and things like that. I noticed some really cool things being made out there that were kind of like a multifunctional universal travel adapters that had different sorts of plugs and options on there for the user that I thought was really interesting. I ran some quick numbers through Jungle Scout, noticed a few opportunities there that if you could satisfy the needs of the end user and do something a little bit differently than everybody else and find a manufacturer on Alibaba that's, you know, willing to make you something that's going to satisfy those needs and solve a problem, then again, it is electronic at the end of the day, and most people are going to shy away from things like that, but there sometimes is uncovered an opportunity. So again, check that out. Maybe there's some opportunities in there. Don't hold me to it, though. I didn't drill deep enough to vet every single thing that I just mentioned there. But at the end of the day, what I want to throw out, as long as your numbers work out to where you are comfortable. So let's just say you do your math, you know how much it's going to cost to get made, how much it's going to cost to ship, how much the FBA fees are, all those other little fees, and you know what your selling price is going to be, and you know how much demand there is. And if you can kind of work out the formula so that the numbers work out for you at the end of the day, maybe not the other guy that wants more profit, but you know, maybe you're fine with making $5 profit per unit or $6 profit unit, and it's not $10. And you're fine with maybe making $50, $60 a day at, you know, per product or for that product, for all the units that you're going to sell. Maybe you're okay with that. As long as the numbers work out in your favor where you're making money and it's worth your time, then by all means, make the decision and go for it. Okay. So again, don't be afraid to stray away from a couple of the general bullet points of the criteria. As long as those numbers work out at the end of the day, take some action and start making some money, okay? So if you haven't even put that first product out there yet, don't worry about it hitting every single criteria on there before you start to take action. As long as you're making profit and it's going to make you a profit that you're happy with, by all means, go for it. So hopefully you guys found some of this information helpful. I know a lot of you out there, again, maybe you're spinning your wheels in the product research phase, which is totally understandable. But again, break some of the rules, go outside the norm, and ultimately make a damn decision and take some action and start private labeling that product. Just go through the process, okay? So you just got to take the action and make it happen. I know you can do it. Just don't be afraid. Just be fearless. As long as your numbers are good and you know the numbers, then act upon it, okay? All right, that about does it, everybody. I appreciate your time and attention and your ears. As always, you are beautiful. I love you. And I will talk to you guys in the next episode. Later. Hey, thanks for listening to the very end. I really appreciate it. Now, for being such a loyal listener of the show, we are offering you an exclusive discount on Jungle Scout for the Private Labeler Show community. Simply go to junglescout.com/PLS to take advantage today. Or simply use the Jungle Scout link on my resources page on privatelabelershow.com. So take advantage of the savings and start finding the perfect product to sell today. Thanks.